Okay, we come to go back from last week's some phrase. Some phrase up before that. It was 4 days after my perpetual vows. I was trying to make a holy hour. It was the first Thursday of the month. As soon as I entered the chapel, God's presence enveloped me. I was distinctly aware that the Lord was near me. After a moment, I saw the Lord all covered with wounds. And he said to me, "Look at whom you have exposed." I understood the meaning of these words and answered the Lord, "Jesus, I loved you more when I see you wounded and crushed with suffering like this than if I saw you in majesty." Jesus asked, "Why?" I replied, "Great majesty terrifies me. Little, nothing than I am. And the wounds draw me to your heart and tell me of your great love for me. The wound is for us, for me and for you." After this conversation, there was silence. I fixed my gaze upon his sacred wounds and felt happy to suffer with him. I suffered, and yet I did not suffer, because I felt happy to know the depth of his love, and the hour passed like a minute. Although she had so much pain in her heart, but with the suffering Lord together, 3 hours as if 1 minute. This is where the heart is. I must never judge anyone, but look at others with leniency, at myself with severity. I must refer everything to God, and in my own eyes, recognize myself for what I am. Utter misery and nothingness. In suffering, I must be patient and quiet, knowing that everything passes in time. Nothing is forever on earth. Don't worry, even people hate you, won't last. So don't worry. The moment I lived through when I was taking my perpetual vows are better left unsaid. So there must be something seriously wounded in her heart she don't want to share. You know, to follow the path of sanctity, that's our Heavenly Mother. He suffers so much, nobody understands. Today we celebrate purification. No? When the word of Simeon, there will be a sort of peace of heart. What's that?
Presentation.
Yeah, you call it presentation. But it's, as a matter of fact, the real liturgy is, I mean, originally is purification. When a woman, after 40 days, go to the chapel, go to the temple, and purify herself. When according to tradition, they said a woman give birth is clean, not clean, because all the blood coming out. So it's cleansing. Of course, offering the baby, but at the same time, it's purification. And the Simeon telling her there were sought peace of heart. And she told a saint called he's from Sweden in the 14th century. A Heavenly Mother told her, ever since the day that Simeon told me that there's a sword, ever since my heart is pierced, wounded. Until the day she was assumed to heaven. You see, all through her life, it's piercing with wounds. Imagine when we say we have so much pain on earth and Rupa doesn't understand, the same way. Faustina, Rupa doesn't understand. Even people criticize her. You know, even our Heavenly Mother, no matter where she go, she was criticized by people giving birth with our husband. You know. I am in him and he in me. And as a bishop, I mean, postponed or putting the ring on my finger, God pervaded my whole being. And since I cannot express that moment, I will be silent about it. My relationship with God since perpetual vows has been more intimate than it had ever been before. I sense that I love God, that He loves me. Having once tasted God, my soul could not live without Him. 1 hour spent at the foot of the altar in the greatest dryness of spirit is dearer to me than 100 years of worldly pleasures. I prefer to be lowly dwelt in the common than a queen in the world. I will hide from people's eyes whatever good I am able to do, so that God Himself may be my reward. I will be like a tiny violet hidden in the grass, which does not hurt the foot that treads on it, but diffuses its fragrance and, forgetting itself completely, tries to please the person who has crushed it underfoot. So beautiful, huh? Explanation, the violet, the little flower, the purple flower. You know, when people crush me, won't hurt the feet, even give the perfume for other people. When people hurt you, you know, violet, be crushed, but you give the fragrance. That's how life should be. This is very difficult for human nature, but God's grace come to one's aid. So whatever impossible God, what's impossible for men is possible for God. God will balance it. Thank you, Jesus, for the great favor of making known to me the whole abyss of my misery. I know that I am an abyss of nothingness, and that if your holy grace did not hold me up, I would return to nothingness in the moment. So even though we can survive, but still God is holding us. And so with every beat of my heart, I thank you, my God, for your great mercy toward me. Tomorrow, I'm to leave for Vilnius. Today, I went to confession to Father Andres. This priest, who is so filled with the Spirit of God, who united my wings so that I could soar to the highest summits. He assured me in everything and told me to believe in divine providence. Sometimes, as if you come to a road, no end, no way, what? As if something finished. God is opening. Have confidence and walk ahead with courage. This word of the confessor. An extraordinary divine power came over me after that confession. Father Andres stressed that I must be faithful to God's grace and said, no harm will come to you if, in the future, you continue to keep the same simplicity and obedience. It's important, obedience. Have confidence in God. You are on the right path and in good hands, in God's hands. See, but it's beautiful. Even these words already can hold it, can let us live in peace. That evening, I remained in the chapel a little longer. I talked to the Lord about a certain soul. Encouraged by his goodness, I said, Jesus, you gave me this father, Andresen, who understands my inspirations, and now you are taking him away from me again. She feels lonely then. Many people are afraid being lonely. So much so they attach to something or some people as if kind of security. They put their trust in people more than in the Lord. That's how we feel pain. Don't understand. She didn't understand. She misunderstood me. She looked at me. She shouted at me. All this stuff. Because we're yearning for people's love. We forgot. God loves so much. He's standing by your side and we forgot. You look at things that we can see, visible. What I'm going to do in this Meninus, the place where she will go, I don't know anyone there. And even the dialect of the people there is different, is foreign to me. Something of the temptation over there, you know. And the Lord said to me, do not fear. I will not leave you to yourself. My soul drowned itself in a prayer of thanksgiving for all the graces that the Lord has granted me through the mediation of Father Andres. Suddenly, I remembered the vision in which I had seen the priest between the confessional and the altar, trusting that I would meet him someday. And the words I had heard came back vividly. He will help you to fulfill to my will here on earth. Father Andres. There's another priest, Father Sopoko also, no? I think Father Sopoko is more external, kind of related to Rome, got all the documents to send to Rome. Father, that's Sopoko. And this Andres is kind of internal forum. His confession, give him all the consolation, don't be afraid. Friday, 27, 1933. I'm leaving for Vilnius. When I came out of the house, I looked at the garden and the house. When I cast a glance at the novitiate, tears suddenly ran down to my cheeks. I remembered all the blessings and graces bestowed on me by the Lord. Then suddenly and unexpectedly, I saw the Lord by the flower bed, and he said to me, do not weep. I am with you always. If you go away from this house to another house, even you don't know the dialect, even you don't know the people foreign to you, I will be there with you. No. God's presence, which enveloped me as Jesus was speaking, accompanied me throughout the journey. So, I had permission to visit Czechoslovakia while on my journey. I saw the Mother of God image for the first time when I went to attend the unveiling of the image at five in the morning. I prayed without interruption until 11, and it seemed to me that I had just come. The superior of the house there sent a sister for me to tell me to come to breakfast and said she was worried that I would miss my train. The Mother of God told me many things. I entrusted my perpetual wealth to her. I felt that I was a child, and that she was my mother. She did not refuse any of my requests. I think Czechoslovakia is the place where the Pope John Paul II, the place where he was born, if I don't forget. There's the already prepared way, the Pope, future Pope. I'm already in Venice today, a few scattered tiny huts make up the convent. It seems a bit strange to me after the large buildings of Josflo. There are only 18 sisters here. The house is small, but the community life is more intimate. All the sisters received me very warmly, which was for me a great encouragement to endure the hardships that laid ahead. Sister Justin had even scrubbed the floor in anticipation of my arrival. When I went to benediction, Jesus enlightened me on how I was to conduct myself in respect to certain persons. Already some person waiting for her to go in front. Not easy person, of course. Not an angel. You can imagine. I clung with all my might to the most sweet heart of Jesus, knowing how much I would be exposed to external distractions because of the work I would be doing here in the garden, where I necessarily would be in close contact with lay persons. So she must be afraid to be distracted, no? Before he was in the inside. So there's more time to go to the chapel and prayer, but now he's in the outside world. I mean, the garden, you know. The week for confession came, and to my great joy, I saw the priest I had known before coming to Vininus. That to say, I had known him by seeing him in a vision. Only a vision. At that moment, I heard these words in my soul. This is my faithful servant. He will help you to fulfill my will here on earth. Yet, I did not open myself to him as the Lord wished. And for some time, I struggled against grace. During each confession, God's grace penetrated me in a very special way. Yet, I did not reveal my soul before him. And I had the intention of not going to confession to that priest. After this decision, a terrible anxiety entered my soul. God reproached me severely when I did lay bare my soul completely to this priest. Jesus poured an ocean graces into it. Now I understand that it means to be faithful to a particular grace. That one grace draws down a whole series of others. O my Jesus, keep me near to you. See how weak I am. I cannot go a step forward by myself. So you, Jesus, must stand by me constantly like a mother by a helpless child, even more so. Days of work, of struggle, and of suffering have begun. Everything continued according to the convent's routine. One is always a novice, having to learn many things and to get to know about many things. Because although the rule is the same, each house has its own customs, and thus each change is a little novitiate. It's true. The way you work, no? This house is different than the house, although the work is more or less the same. House of work is different. Different people already different. Different size of house already different in the atmosphere. You know. Shall we continue a little bit? Yes. One more day. August 5th, 1933, the Feast of Lady of Mercy. Today I receive a great and incomprehensible grace, a purely internal one, for which I will be grateful to God throughout this life and in eternity. Jesus told me that I please him best by meditating on his sorrowful passion, and by such meditation, much light falls upon my soul. He who wants to learn through humility should reflect upon the passion of Jesus. When I meditate upon the passion of Jesus, I get a clear understanding of many things I could not comprehend before. I want to resemble you, O Jesus, you crucified, tortured, and humiliated. Jesus, imprint upon my heart and soul your own humility. I love you, Jesus, to the point of madness. You who were crushed with suffering, as described by the prophet, as if he could not see the human form in you because of your great suffering. It is in this condition, Jesus, that I love you to the point of madness, O eternal and infinite God. What has that love done to you? So this is the put Jesus, the suffering Jesus, in her life. And that's how we can smile truthfully, wonderfully, joyfully. We can live every present moment only the Lord, in His suffering, in His passion. So nothing will change our life. Only with the Lord, in His suffering, His passion. That's all. And today is the feast of purification, or your offering of Jesus. But Heavenly Mother confirmed all her life, through all her life, is a pain. It's a pain. A pain of a mother, a pain of a wife, a pain of the mistress of all the disciples of the Lord. You can see. She knows everyone. She knows Judas also. You can imagine. It's not a pleasant encounter with Judas. According to the tradition, Judas, a very smart, handsome man, bright, doing business and good work. And he may speak good in the temple for the sake of Jesus. And he has a kind of connection, you know, because she's a rich family. So the scribes and the priests know him well, and he can speak well about Jesus. You can imagine. Only the last moment, just because of 30 bucks, closed his eyes. You know, when you are hang to some kind of attachment, if not to Jesus, will kill you. Right? You see how much Faustina is sustaining this trust in the Lord and all the suffering, and still yearning for just only, you know, once an eye feel close to you, not your majesty. You see, only a time we experience the same pain of the Lord, we can understand how much the Lord loves us. Sometimes I feel, really, the Lord suffered for our sake. All the pain, all the falling down on His way, is for us. He is innocent. Only our sinfulness. He takes all our sinfulness for Himself. He loves us so much, so we can have a better life. Life in peace. If we have life in sin, in sinfulness, we couldn't have peace. Jesus, in exchange. So thank you to the Lord. And we are so away from Faustina, you know. Faustina is so close to Jesus. Or we try to follow her closer and closer. But sometimes you prostrate yourself before the Blessed Sacrament. You know, in the chapel when there's no body, prostrate, begging for forgiveness, begging for graces for sinners, not for ourselves.